Second case of the day, Schmitty's City Knight versus the City of Fond du Lac. Nightmare.
Bad name.
Yeah. Mr. Olson.
May it please the court, I'm here for Schmitty's City Nightmare. And I'm here today to ask this court to issue a conservative decision and a decision that's cautious about approving the kind of radical surgery that the district court engaged in this case, because it's dangerous to these municipalities that are trying to craft legislation and trying to write words that mean what they say. And I'll give you three examples of what I mean by that danger. First of all, the district court said because adult cabaret is a zoning use, that means it only applies in situations where something is always an adult cabaret. You have to be always an adult cabaret every night of the week, 365 days a year, to be subject to this kind of discriminatory zoning. Well, right now,
I'm not sure where we're going here. Are you disagreeing with the district court's constitutional analysis or just with its understanding of the meaning of the Fond du Lac ordinance?
I'm disagreeing with its understanding of the meaning of the Fond du Lac ordinance as to what a use is and whether a use has to be constant.
Does the city of Fond du Lac itself disagree with the district court's understanding?
According to its ordinances, it does. I don't know what it's going to say here.
I want to know what their lawyers said in the district court. I'll obviously ask their appellate lawyers now. It sounded from their brief like the city of Fond du Lac agrees entirely with the district court's understanding of the ordinance.
Well, maybe they're saying they do now, but their own ordinance say a use is something that can be an activity. But what the example I wanted to use
is
was...
Is there any state court, any Wisconsin court that has read this ordinance in a way differently from the way the district court has done?
No Wisconsin court has read this ordinance at all.
But then, you know, if you want us to disagree with the city's understanding of its own ordinance, you have to cope with Frisbee against Schultz, in which the Supreme Court said that when there's a dispute about the meaning of a local ordinance, the federal judiciary should, and it's yet to be construed by the state judiciary, the federal judiciary should accept the understanding put on it by the enacting body.
The enacting body is one thing, but their lawyers say in court is another thing.
No, it's not another thing, because Frisbee dealt with what the lawyers said in court. That was the basis of the Supreme Court's decision in Frisbee, that until the state judiciary has spoken, the federal judiciary will accept the reading given by the lawyer for the governmental body involved.
Well,
Frisbee actually would have come out the other way had it not used that principle.
In some of these examples...
That's why I think it's terribly important here to know, first, whether the state judiciary has spoken. Apparently the answer is no.
Correct.
And then, second, whether the city of Fond du Lac accepts this reading.
Well, of course, they're going to stand up and say now they do, but a lot of these things were positions that the district court came up with on its own.
Counsel, I don't know that of course it is, because the reading of the ordinance that the district court gave gives your client much of what it wants. The city may or may not be willing to do that, but from your position, I wouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth.
A lot of the positions taken by the district court as to what this ordinance means.
What is it you want that they won't give you? Could you be concrete?
We want the... ordinance to be
Forget
drafted.
The ordinance. What do you want concretely? What do you want to be permitted to do?
They want to be permitted to present occasional adult entertainment that shouldn't cause secondary effects. They want to be permitted to present adult entertainment that entails erotic touching that currently
and
subjects them
to... You
want
to be able to do that any place in Fond du Lac?
Any place in Fond du Lac.
You're not content with B6?
not content
with
the...
What's wrong
with B6? It's a gulag of an undesirable...
What does that mean?
It's, well, it's a terrible place to do business, and it's not where
Wait
my client's
second.
Business
How
is.
How large is B6?
I can't give you a precise figure, Your
Well,
right.
How do we... If you can't give me a... You can give me a rough figure.
Less than 10% of the land area and undesirable.
Yeah, but how much is it? I mean, you don't have 1,000 of these bars and so on. So what is your problem with B6? Or put differently, have you made a record as to the unsuitability, inadequacy, excessive expense, or what have you, of B6 for what you want to present?
No, and if we
no,
we,
okay,
we,
then
that's
what's
not
the
our
problem,
argument.
Right? Okay, all I say, I mean, we have, you know, our Blue Canary case.
Sure.
Well, that's very similar, right? Another Wisconsin ordinance, another, you know. And what we said the impairment of First Amendment values is slight to the point of being risible, since the expressive activity involving the kind of striptease entertainment provided in a bar has at best a modest social value and is anyway not suppressed but merely shoved off to another part of town where it remains easily accessible to anyone who wants to patronize that kind of establishment. Now, maybe B6 is remote, maybe it has gates, you can't get there, it has no streets, what have you, but you haven't tried to make a record that shows that somehow... Look, the restriction of free speech by a zoning ordinance, depending on you know, the geography and so on, that can be virtually zero, right? If B6 is proximate to the downtown and it's, you know, easily reached and so on, and land prices are not exorbitant and there's room for these bars and so on, What's the First Amendment problem?
It's a big problem to somebody that owns an existing business and doesn't want to have to relocate.
But that's really trivial, right?
I don't think it's trivial at all.
Because if you know what the ordinance provides, and you intend to provide this kind of entertainment, then you go there. Anyways, relocation. Sell a building and they move a few blocks. How far would they be moving?
Are you suggesting that...
No, don't ask me. You've answered my question first. Then you can ask me a question, all right? So take turns. How far would they have to move from their present location to B6?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, how can you tell me that this relocation would be difficult?
It's not a matter of how far they have to move. Even if they just have to move across the street, they have to sell one building, buy another,
or rent
another. Well,
that's not a big deal, is it? Selling one building and buying another? Is that a violation of free speech? I don't understand.
No, it's not a violation.
Anyway, you haven't made a record. You haven't. There are no facts here, are there, about the actual burden on Schmitty's of selling and buying another building? Is there?
No, because we've chosen not to attack on an alternative avenue theory.
You've chosen not to give us any facts from which we might infer. Look, the courts have been very permissive about zoning restrictions of these, you know, exotic, whatever you want to call them, entertainment, because they recognize that just telling you... Because it's like any other zone. They just tell you, yeah, you have to be in this particular zoned area. And that's just rearranging the properties in the city. You start with, obviously, I mean, you're not going to say that the First Amendment value of your client's entertainment is tremendous. It's okay, you know, there's a market for it and so on. That's fine. But it's not, you know, it's not like Fond du Lac saying no one can criticize the mayor of Fond du Lac. It's not that severe a restriction on free speech. Because even if they did forbid these things, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But they don't. You can do all this stuff. You just have to go to B6, about which we're told absolutely nothing. So we don't know whether B6 is inconvenient, too small, what have you. You just haven't made a record.
If I own a business in Fond du Lac, the city of Fond du Lac can't zone me out of my present location based on my First Amendment protected activity without some evidence that my First Amendment...
That is precisely what the Supreme Court permits towns to do.
If you interrupt me in the middle of my sentence, then you don't get the full meaning, which was without some evidence that my First Amendment activity is causing secondary effects. If they can prove my...
I don't believe that. These cases do not require evidence of secondary effects. That is, they do not require the city to make a record of, you know, arrests for prostitution, what have, drunkenness, what have you. It's a theoretical... I mean, probably nonsense, but it's a theoretical proposition that these strip joints promote disorderly conduct. The cases say that. They don't say, well, they presented testimony from police officers who said, yes, this is terrible, these, you know. Do they? Do they require that?
I think the cases say no zoning without
evidence
of secondary effects.
Do the cases require, you know, trial-type evidence?
No, not at all.
Police and so on.
They can rely on other cities.
It's just a presumption. It's a presumption that these particular entertainment places attract, you know, low people and so on who are rowdy. Whether true or not, that's just maybe, you know, a myth of some sort, but the courts don't require evidence, do they?
In RVS, this one did.
Excuse me?
In RVS versus City of Rockford, this one did. I'm going to say...
This one did? I didn't understand you.
This one said there was no evidence
this
of...
this one?
This court.
This court has required...
Evidence of secondary effects.
In what case?
To support discriminatory zoning in RVS versus City of Rockford.
Mr. Olson, your comment about the city not being shouldn't be permitted to force you to change from your existing location, but you want to change the nature of the presentment, do you not? So it's
right.
Not exactly like you've been operating in let's say category A, and the city says you can't do that anymore. You want to be A+. So it's, you're not. Is that not right?
I don't understand your question, Your Honor.
Well, you want to be permitted to expand the nature of the presentation.
We
right?
want to be able to present more erotic entertainment.
Yeah, right, right, right. So it isn't as if you've been presenting it and then told you have to move to B6.
They've been presenting all they can, bathing suit dancers.
I appreciate that. So, but you want to change circumstance. So is it not true that if you've been zoned a certain way to for whatever reason, you know, a hospital meatpacking plant, and you want to change that, you're not saying that there's some kind of a constitutional right to is being violated by with its new changed activity that the city can't zone that way?
As long as the city doesn't make its zoning definitions on the basis of First Amendment expression that are not associated with any secondary effects at all, the city can zone me the way it wants to.
Right.
But if it does that, then it can't.
What
even if
erotic,
I've never done
what is
yet.
Erotic touching? Is this erotic touching of the customers or of the
entertainers? No, the dancers themselves. It's the kind of erotic touching that's dealt with in Schultz versus City of Cumberland. I'm going to save a little bit of my time if I can.
All right, Mr. Olson, thank you. Mr. Bittar?
May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Ramsey Bittar. I'm here on behalf of the City of Fond du Lac, along with Attorney Ray Pollan. Just a couple points to begin with in response to some of the earlier questions that were raised. I think that this is the type of case where we do need to take a conservative and cautious approach, and that conservative and cautious approach would be to follow the guidelines for the overbreath doctrine that we have cited in our brief. That doctrine is to be used sparingly and only as a last resort, and only if we can find by facts which haven't been presented in this case.
What is the city's position about the district judge's understanding of this statute?
The city has accepted Judge Griesbach's interpretation. In fact, much of the argumentation that was put before Judge Griesbach, he accepted. So this is the interpretation the city has given all along. We didn't just decide to accept this after We received summary judgment.
Your view is that the district judge got it from the city to begin with.
Correct, Your Honor. Correct, Your Honor. And so this is a consistent interpretation that we offered to Judge Griesbach, and I think
I'm actually a little surprised that a city that would enact an ordinance like this actually would adopt that interpretation, since it does seem to leave the plaintiff free to do largely what he wants.
And my understanding is that the city of Fond du Lac is okay with that, as long as he does it in the B5, B6 zones. And that's
that's a different question. And that the reading you took in the district court and the reading the district court gave allows the plaintiff to do largely what he wants right where it is.
I don't tell me that you agree with that.
Well, that's your position.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I may have misunderstood, but I don't believe that Judge Griesbach's decision went that far.
Judge Griesbach stressed that since this is a zoning rule, and zoning rules deal with normal uses of the land, the nightclub can do occasionally anything that it wants. It's only what it does normally that is potential ground for a zoning problem.
Okay, I think I understand your question. Yes, I think he did carve out that exception, but this case really isn't.
Do you agree with that?
Right, that a one-time sexually oriented show probably cannot be regulated. This ordinance is designed.
It's not a question of whether it can or can't be regulated. It's a question whether this ordinance does or does not regulate it.
It does not regulate.
First, we figure out whether it does or does not, and then we figure out whether it can or can't.
This ordinance does not regulate a one-time performance, and I believe Judge Griesbach noted that. This ordinance is aimed at adult cabarets who hold out their business to have entertainers who perform with specific sexual movements and wear specific
specified sexual activities.
Right, correct, and that's what this ordinance is aimed at. And I think in that regard, Schultz was mentioned.
I think Justice Stevens tried to lampoon that phrase once. It's surprising to see it back again.
The Schultz case with regard to the specified sexual activities was a total ban, and so I think this court needs to realize it's not so much that we need to distinguish that case, it's just that we need to go ahead and just reconcile the two. This case is not a ban on specified sexual activities.
Does the record contain any information about B6, any map of the city, or anything from which one could infer that this was or was not a serious restriction on his?
Yes, Your Honor. That information was submitted before the district court. It's in the summary judgment briefing. You can look at the affidavit of the city planner. Her name is Joellen Dahlin, D-A-H-L-I-N. I think it's either record 23 or 24. And it lays out the acreage that's available in the B5 and B6 zones. But the issue here on appeal was simply just the overbreath doctrine. There really wasn't much of a record put on by the plaintiff as to any concerns that they may have with alternative sites. It was information that we put in to show that there are, in fact, alternative sites, and there's sufficient alternative sites.
Now, Mr.
It was never
Olson
challenged.
Said that our Rockford case requires the city to prove secondary effects as a matter of fact. Was any effort made to do that, or is that your understanding of the law?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Could you repeat the question?
Yes. Well, Mr. Olson said that this this case against the city of Rockford, which is
the RVS case?
Yes.
RVS.
Yeah. That case, Your Honor, I don't believe is relevant to this discussion. My understanding of that case is that the ordinance applied only to dancers who are clothed. It was a
only
very different
what?
Kind
I'm
of
sorry.
Ordinance.
Only to?
It applied to exotic dancers who are clothed. They actually had two ordinances in that case. I think one with your more traditional type of regulation of exotic dance. But in that case, the issue before the court was an ordinance that applied to dancers who are clothed. But in any event, it wasn't a case concerning the zoning issues that we have in this case. The issues before this court, I think, are very limited, and I think that the approach to follow in this case is that set forth in Broderick.
And this overbreadth doctrine, what this Thornhill, do you think this applies? I mean, is Schmitty's is an appropriate representative of, you know, the New York City Ballet or someone like that?
Well,
do you have to draft? I mean, do you grant? This is what we argue. You have to draft an ordinance that would, explicitly permit high class erotic drama. Do you acknowledge that to be your constitutional duty?
I think it's our duty to create an ordinance and enforce an ordinance that is aimed at curbing the secondary effects.
Was you know, troubled by this occasionally, because otherwise, you know, maybe the New York City Ballet would be afraid to come to Fond du Lac, you know, afraid they'd get locked up or something, or be sent to B6 with all the strip joints.
I don't think that would be the case, because Judge Griesbach did give a limiting construction on the definition of adult cabaret, which we had offered to the court as our interpretation of the ordinance, and he focused on...
Well, no, that's my question. See, Judge Griesbach, I guess accepting the overbreadth doctrine, and this is pursuing what Judge Easterbrook was asked, so he's kind of narrowed your ordinance. So my question is, do you really have to do that? Or could you actually wait till the New York City Ballet shows up in Fond du Lac and is sent to B5 or B6?
Right. Well, in that respect,
it's so fantastic. There'll never be such a case. So why should legislatures be required to draft for contingencies that we know will never occur?
Well, in this case, we're dealing with First Amendment free speech, which is a matter that the legislature cannot handle lightly. But in the case of a New York performance coming, that can be handled as an as-applied challenge when those facts are before the court. In this case, I think it's important to note that we don't have such facts. We basically have the arguments of plaintiff's counsel as to the alleged overbreath, hypotheticals, which I think are just designed to sort of rattle the court and the ordinance, and I just don't think that's the case. This ordinance is not aimed at regulating a ballet coming from New York City. And if that ever does happen, no matter how fanciful that is, it can be handled as an as-applied challenge.
But what is it aimed at? The how often this occurs?
This ordinance, my understanding is, it's aimed at the harmful effects, and it tries to
de minimis. The hotel does it once a month, has a bachelor party, and Schmitty's does it only every Thursday night. There's a greater problem with the four Thursday nights in the month than there is with the one Saturday that the hotel has the bachelor party.
Well, I think that's an issue that's circulating out there, but it's not an issue that's really before the court right here. In this case, the ordinance is limited to adult cabarets who feature on a regular basis such entertainment.
Well,
but it is a separate question.
Well,
how many times is...
If Schmitty says Thursday nights are special and the community comes to know what special is, that's all they say. And the hotel doesn't say anything except on its lobby bulletin board that the Jones bachelor party is tonight. And, that's okay. So the hotel can profit from that kind of bachelor party.
I believe
it cannot with its special Thursdays.
I would agree with that analysis, yes.
What do you agree with?
I would agree that the hotel, who has a one-time performance, a stag party or what have you, would not be regulated. But if Schmitty's is going to offer exotic entertainment every Thursday, arguably that's occurring on a regular basis. If it's offering it every Thursday of every four times a month over the course of a year on and on, that arguably is regular.
What would the city do if one hotel was known as specializing in hosting these bachelor parties? Would they then focus on whether they should be in B6,
Well, I think in that case we wouldn't have an adult cabaret. Could be a question.
Why does an adult cabaret have to be an adult cabaret 7 days a week? If the hotel it becomes a focus of once a week, twice a month, do you have to be an adult cabaret 24/7?
According to the holding in Schultz, it has to be almost always on a regular, reoccurring basis. But arguably, that would cover the instance where you have, whether it's a club or a hotel, that every Thursday or every Saturday is bringing in a Chippendale show or is bringing in some other form of exotic entertainment. There is some precedent to that authority. If you look to the Eighth Circuit opinion, I think it's called BGLA. I could be wrong, but it's a 2001 case where the court upheld the right of a municipality to regulate even a one-time performance. But that's not what we're trying to do here in this case, and I don't think that's what this case is all about. This is a very narrow issue before this court on how municipalities can structure their zoning ordinances to cover the negative secondary effects that are generated by adult entertainment establishments. And I don't think that this is a case where the language that is employed in the ordinance defining adult-oriented establishments is overbroad. And I think that the constructions that we offered Judge Griesbach were reasonable ones, which he accepted, and those are constructions that Fond du Lac is willing to live by. And I guess I would just again point out that given the limited nature of this case and the exacting analysis that's called for under the overbreath doctrine, that the district court's decision is upheld.
Mr. Meadhart, this section 11.08E18?
Correct.
You know, with the definition of adult entertainment and then in 3 and the adult entertainment and excuse me, adult cabaret in 4?
I'm following.
Okay. Now, do you find that a building or structure regularly used is the equivalent in the next, that's in language of 3, and then in language of 4, a building or structure which features? So is features, is that the same thing as regularly used?
I think it is, and that's how we proposed it to Judge Griesbach. That's how he accepted it. And for further authority on that point, you could look to the Supreme Court case called FWPBS and look at Judge Scalia's, I think it was a dissent. It was on a different issue on the rights that are due to a sexually oriented business to appeal a decision and get a judicial determination. The court decided only on that issue, but Judge Scalia went ahead and analyzed the terms of an ordinance that had language very similar to this, and he looked at that features language, and he defined it in that manner, just as Judge Griesbach had done in this case. If there are no further questions, my time would be at an end.
Thanks, Mr. Olson.
I've got a minute I'd like to talk about the New York City Ballet.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question before you show us your picture. How would you have drafted this ordinance to avoid constitutional problems?
I would have picked some frequency of use and put it explicitly that I had some evidence, and I don't have to prove it with trial-type evidence in court, but I need some evidence from somewhere, some other city or something, some frequency of adult entertainment that causes secondary effects, and I would have written that into the ordinance as a threshold for who gets discriminatorily zoned. Then I would have picked some level of clothing, and I would have drawn that up for who gets discriminatorily
zoned. How would you pick the level of clothing?
I would look at the studies that were done in the big cities that have paid for studies and seen what the dancers
what
were
studies?
Wearing. Phoenix, Indianapolis, Minneapolis, Scottsdale, there's dozens of them.
Are you referring to specific studies that you're aware of?
I'm referring to a lot of studies that have been done by cities that are they're discussed in all of the alternative avenues cases that talk about adult businesses causing secondary effects and what kinds of adult businesses are likely to cause secondary effects on their neighborhoods. I'd look at those and I'd draw off my clothing ordinance to try to, so I had some support in the literature. Then thirdly, okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
I've got it.
Okay.
Well, what happened? You never showed us your picture.
you have the time, Mr. Olson.
It's not obscene. Oh, what a disappointment.
Los Angeles,
it's blank. The people in the back, they think, oh, wow, the judges were really getting an eyeful. This is a, I assure you, this is a blank page. Unless my eyes, you know, censor out any varieties.
Los Angeles Ballet, New York City Ballet. This is the speech that causes secondary effects. I can zone that speech in a discriminatory fashion. But if I aim my zoning ordinance that discriminatorily zones speech at some whole other category of speech that doesn't cause secondary effects, that zoning ordinance is unlawful under Young and Wren, and that's the RVS case right there. No substantial government interest in zoning this speech.
I'm really sorry I asked that question. This is so disappointing, Mr.
One more. I was going to try to draw this specified anatomical areas, but I just don't have the talent. Here's a speech that causes secondary effects. Here's the ordinary overbreath. You draw your ordinance, and it gets this speech, but it gets a whole bunch of other speech, too. The question when you talk about substantial overbreath is, are the real speakers in the world, and where they want to be, are they out here where they're not affected by this? Because what we're trying to do with our constitutional litigation is move this boundary of the ordinance into the boundary of what actually causes secondary effects. And the question is there anybody that wants to be in here or wants to, or that is in there? And maybe the New York City Ballet is in there or not, but I'll tell you, there are businesses like Schmitty's who are just outside the line now, being constitutional, being lawful so they don't get tickets under the ordinance, who are ready to move in here, and their speech is protected. It's protected here and it's protected here by the Constitution.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.